thought is out of the depths. And by the Lord's help, I'd kind of like to take us on a journey this morning. Would you like to go on a journey? Well, I'm going to warn you, you're going to have to be brave to go. It's going to take a lot of courage to get there. And it's not for the faint heart. And you may get part way there and want to jump ship. But I believe if you could get there, it'd be a real blessing. So, Lord, help us today. The scripture that I got the thought from was in the 130th Psalm. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord. First verse of the 130th Psalm. Have you ever wondered why you are like you are? Have you ever come to the place to say, why am I like this? What causes me to be like this? Have you ever been in the place that you really didn't like yourself very much because of things that you had in your life, and you said, why am I this way? And what made me this way? And have you ever looked at somebody else and says, what makes them that way? Why did they do that? It seems so unreasonable. It seems so impractical. It seems like it hurts so much to be that way. Why are they that way? Or why am I that way? I've thought a lot about it and read about it and had people's conclusions on it and thoughts on it. And I think that we're a very complex being in that regard. I don't think that it's possible for you and I to really to know and understand why we are like we are altogether. Because there's too much information put into it. I'm the result of, and you are too, the result of two people. A mother and a father. And to some degree, we've taken some of that from them. But it's much more than that. Because they had two parents too. And there's a line of things that comes down through into our lives. I get a certain thing from Grandpa on my mother's side and his mother from his dad's side. And that can carry on, and we're affected by that. No doubt we are. But we also are affected by our environment around us. I think there's plenty of evidence that shows that the way we grow up in the environment we grow up in can play a big part in the way we think, in the way we do things. I heard a study some time back that indicated that there's possibly a link in our makeup before we're born. Actually, while we're in our mother's womb, there is evidence to show that what she does at that time in life very well could affect who we are as a person. Well, we know that's true in drug addictions and things of substance abuse. We know that you can be affected that way, but they're talking about how she is, studies show that how her emotions are through that time could very well affect her child in the dispositions that they have in life. That's quite incredible to think about. And to be honest with you today, I'm not near smart enough to go into all those things to try to figure that all out. And neither are you. And there has been great learned men that have tried to get to that kind of a place to figure out maybe we could possibly change the order of the way a person is if we can find out what's causing it. But I dare to say that probably an impossibility. There's places God has put barriers. Man will never be able to figure that out to correct the problems that it causes. So I have to say in my own life, I'm affected by many, many things. My parents, those that I grew up around, the environment that I grew up in, the culture that I grew up in, the things that happened in my early childhood greatly affected me. I can remember back, and me and my sister have talked many times about it. I can remember as a young, very young child laying in the room at night, in the middle of the night, and hearing mom and dad and their clashes and their arguments and things hitting the wall and the fighting that was going on. I can remember as a young child being in torment. I was in torment of that. That was more than I could bear. And then the next morning, up you go and you go to school and you go to school and the teacher's trying to teach you something. And I can remember very well, there's no use in trying to teach me nothing on a day like that. I go to school and you're supposed to learn, and the teacher thinks without understanding that you're a little rebellious and you can't learn and you won't put your mind into it, and she's trying to hammer you to do it, or he, whoever the case may be, and you're there in that kind of place and not able to learn. Not able. There was something happened. My mind was too far out to even try to do it. I dare say that I've been affected with that in my life. So would you, how about us take a journey today down into a place? It's a tough place to go. It's fearful. I'm going to tell you, it's a dark place. There's not much light shines down in these places. And I'm going to tell you, it's a place of silence. There's not much noise comes out of this place. It's hidden. For the most part, these places are hidden deep, deep down in us. And it's hard to ever get there. But I want to tell you, these things affect us in our lives. It affects us in our relationships. It affects us in the way we cope with things. There really is a place like that a lot of times in our heart that we don't understand. And it reminds me, when I was growing up as a boy, I can remember my dad, he would clear out. We had a pretty good sized yard, but he was always clearing here and there. And we had locust trees up there. And locust trees are incredible growers. They grow very fast. And my dad would, they would be some growing, and he would be thinking, well, I don't want them to get much bigger because they'll endanger the house if they get much bigger. So he would ring them. He'd cut a ring around to cut the bark all the way around so that the tree would die. But I remember him saying many times when he would cut that bark around and kill that tree, they would be 50 or 100 sprouts come up, locust sprouts would come up after he would do that. And before long, he was dealing with many times more problems than he had trying to take care of. And he would say many times, look at how they do that. They just keep sprouting up, and if you cut them down with the mower, when they're that big, they're pretty easy to handle. But if you don't get them fairly quick, well, then in a year sometimes they grow 6-8 feet tall in 1 year. And then by the next year, they're this big around, and you've got to saw them off. They're real fast growers. And I can remember having to deal with that, and Dad trying to cut a tree down and getting all the more. Well, the truth of it was, he wasn't really dealing with the real problem. See, underneath there was a root system that was alive, and it had effects. It had effects, and it was going to come out somewhere, and it would come out and show itself, and you look and say, "That's a problem. That's a problem," and cut it down. Then cut that down, and three more pop up around it, and it kept being, and never really dealing with the source of the problem. Never really going in and eradicating the thing and really, really get it took care of. And now it doesn't have to affect anymore because it's took care of. But I'm going to tell you, if you go swatting at the leaves of these locust trees, you're just making more problems and more problems and never, ever, ever taking care of the problem. Out of the depths. It takes some courage to do it. You got to be brave to do this one. But I'm going to tell you, it's also a lonely place because you can't go in this place. You can't go get the pastor by the hand and said, "Will you go there with me?" It just doesn't work that way. I remember one time I had one of my little children. We was sitting at home and they was eating some candy or something. And they unwrapped the candy wrapper and threw the paper right out in the middle of the floor. It wasn't a big deal about the paper in the floor, but I said, "Pick that paper up. You can't throw paper. Pick that up and put it in the trash." Well, my child just stood there looking at me. Well, listen, folks, I'm not that big a deal about a piece of paper in the floor. But it does mean something when I say to pick it up and put it where it belongs. And my child just looked at me. And I said, "You heard me. Pick the paper up and put it in the trash." It was a real calm scene. And she just stood there looking at me. Well, this had to progress then. And so I become forceful. "You're not understanding." "Nope, no understanding here." So I disciplined her and said, "Pick the paper up." And she just looked at me. This getting a little difficult. This come to a point to where, folks, she got to ended up with that paper after a number of spankings with it holding it over the garbage, over the trash can, and wouldn't turn her fingers loose. She finally said to me, "Daddy, knock it out of my hand." She did not want to go there. That meant something. There was something there that she, it meant I got my way. If I would have done it for her, then she wasn't conquered. She didn't do it of her own choice. I made her do it, and she would have always held it that way. But we had to get through that. And today, folks, the Lord will not do this for you. He does great and wonderful works, but God will not do it in spite of you. He won't do it. God wants us to come to the place that it becomes a place that I cry out to Him. See, all this tree is just representing. What it's representing, folks, is really the trouble that is obviously in our lives. I see it. You see it. We all see it. It is to the forefront. There is gauges, folks, in our lives. If we'll pay attention, there is gauges in our lives that speaks of the things in the ground. That's deep down in our lives. God is a marvelous, miracle-working God. God can make us totally whole. I am confident today that God can and will. He is able to take care of every problem we have. But He will not knock it out of our hand. If we want to hold on to it, He'll leave us in that place of holding on to it. But He can take care of it. Now, if, Lord help us, but if you want to go on this journey, let's go, but be stout-hearted. Because there is things that need, folks, they need took care of. I was talking to a brother yesterday that said to me, "We are what we are at home." Truth? See, I come to a camp meeting and I can be just about anything. I can smile and I can laugh and I do those things. And we do put our best foot forward. We've told our children that before. You know, this is a little bit more critical right here at this time, all right? You mean at the house our manners is not always like they ought to be. And sometimes we go beyond things we would do in public. But then we say, okay, best foot forward here on this one. And we expect that of one another. I appreciate when you do it. But we are what we are at home. That's what we really are. And that's where the indicators really speak. So I want to start and touch on a problem. I'm going to touch on something here. Let's talk a little bit about marriage. Your marriage. How you really are at home. Because what you really are at home eventually will be what you are to show to everybody that you get familiar with. When the best foot forward changes, see what I'm saying? And you'll be really start opening up and being it. But the indicators are there at home. And you know, it's real easy. We know these things, but it's real easy to start saying, "I would be a real good husband if I had a real good wife." But that's not what makes a husband a good husband. But it helps. We'll put it together here. It helps it work along here. But on this journey, let's go down in and put it on myself. Today, if you're brave enough, you will say today, you will put off everybody else around you, and you'll be able to make this journey and say, "I'm going to go it. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to look at the, I see the trees, okay? I see the problem. I see that there is problems here. I know I can't get along with people like I really ought to get along with. I know I can't get along with my wife. There's been an existing problem here. I don't know what causes it. Lord, help me. I don't know. I don't know if it comes from Grandpa. I really don't know. I don't know that my disposition comes from when I was a little boy and seen the violence and heard those kind of things and was disturbed by them. I really don't know that's what caused it. But something's causing me to behave in a way that's not right, to think in a way that's not right, to not ever come really to be able to say I love my wife like the church, like the Lord loves the church, and willing to give myself to her like that. I have a reservation for some reason, and I can't get there, and I'm quick to say things that I shouldn't say, and I take my own position sometimes, and I'll be vulnerable here today. I have this saying about me that wants to fire off a quick answer. I mean, if my wife says, will you do it? I don't, Lord help me today, you pray for me. But I'm going to tell you something. If my wife says, honey, would you, my first response that hits my heart is no. Real friendly like, no. And then I'll say, why would I do, this woman does so much for me. Why do I, Lord help me. My response ought to be, yes, honey, I'm waiting. What do you think I'm sitting in here for? But my response generally is, well, I'm busy too. I got things going. I don't want to overdo this. The Lord has helped. I'm saying, why, Lord, I've asked the Lord, Lord, why am I that? Something's down in there that I need. I need more than cutting these things off at the top all the time, because I cut them off at the top. I've cut them off the top ever since I've been saved. I'll do that and I'll say, I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said so quick at that. What do you want me to do? Why don't I think of that? But you know it goes on. It goes on. And I'm still doing it, but somewhere there, there's something that I need to be able to. This journey is not just a journey, it's a mission. It's a mission to where, by the Lord's help, I go down willing to see myself and be honest. And from now on, it's not my wife's problem. It's not my children's problem. It's not the neighbor's problem. It's not Brother Frankie's problem. It's my problem. Lord, and I got to go down there. I'm going to go down there and get that thing. And my mission is I'm going to go get it, Lord. And I'm going to bring it back out. And I'm going to, out of the depths, I'm going to cry unto the Lord. Lord, I've got a problem here. Men, many of us, just you're truthful, our marriages are precious. Precious. All that to show the world what the Lord really is, has been set in the idea of marriage. And we have been given the opportunity to show the Lord in that this is what He is. Lord, help us to be it. Lord, help us to go into that place of dark, deep place and get that thing and come and say, Lord, I've been affected by my past, by my culture, by my upbringing. I've been affected, and here I lay it out before you, Lord. I cry from the depths. Would you, Lord, have mercy on me and help me, and let's fix it. Let's fix these things. Wives, ladies, sisters, we live in a time that has taught our people to fight against the idea of submission. But it'll forever be established in the scriptures as a truth. But the society is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Of course, we're all equal, but there is a lot of submission that's plainly stated in the scripture, and it's being so challenged. Have you ever been challenged with it? Has there ever been anything that just naturally rises up and says, no, I won't. Oh, no, I won't do that. I won't follow that way. I won't go down that way. There's a blessing down there if we could go and get those things out of there. I'm going to tell you, it affects the children. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the not getting along and the fussing and fight, even the silence is damaging to our children. It's terribly damaging to the children to be able to be happy and solid and be able to be secure in their place, to be able to grow up and see the Lord for what He is and the church for what it is, and to have a vision the way it ought to be. All these things are hindered through eyes that's been greatly affected by all these things that sin has. See, all this is a way of dealing with sin. Why would I hide something down in my heart? It's ugly. That's why I hide it down there. I you know, there is people that actually hide it so deep that they themselves never know it. They can't realize it. You know, I have known people that just lie. And I've wondered about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I've told my share. When I was at, I told it to get out of trouble. I told it to cover up for another one. But as the old saying is some people would climb a tree to tell a lie when they could stand on the ground and tell the truth. I wouldn't go out of my way to tell one when there was no purpose. But there is people that lie just for lying. But it's not really that. Lying does something. They're trying to be important. So to tell a lie is an exaggeration of themselves and of the things that they do and all that. And they're in constant, for some reason, needing to belong, needing respect. They need for somebody to look at them and like them and all these things. But somewhere, and you can try to deal with that. But you know you never get anywhere with that. You can never, you know why? Because as you're getting along with it, they'll agree with you. Well, I've seen that. I thought the same thing you did and all that. And then they'll go tell you what people they know just like that. And they'll tell that and never come to a place of honesty to where they can say, there's something here. God wants you and I to be made whole. Whole and be able to deal with those problems. Back before I went into the gospel work, I was a surveyor. And in my line of work, my main job for years was I worked in as an underground surveyor. I was the transit man. And in these coal mines was generally the ones we worked in was no more than 3 feet high, about 36 inches. Some of them was 30 inches high. That was the height of the seam of the coal. And sometimes we were in excess of 2 miles underground. And in the coal mines, there was not a flicker of light unless you took it in there. And when you turned your light off, it was impossible to see. It was that dark down in there. There was nothing. And another thing that was just totally amazing to me was how sound was absorbed down there. You would think a big long shaft like that you could holler and it'd echo right, but it wasn't like that. Something about it in there, it seemed like that the very coal and the ground absorbed the waves, and you had to be fair. You couldn't get voice very far out in there. You would, I don't know if the waves clashed with one another, bouncing off of so much or what it did, but it was almost like you lost the ability to communicate over a very far distance because the sound just wouldn't travel in there. And I thought that was really an analogy to me of this idea, because now this writer said, from the depths I cried unto the Lord. I put my voice out. I needed it. Lord, I recognize it. I don't want to be this way. Please, Lord, I don't want to have this in my life. I'm desperate for help. I need you, Lord, to take care of this problems that I have. It makes me miserable. It makes other people miserable. I can never be satisfied. I never can be happy. But I know down there in that old coal mines, it was like it dispersed away, like it never really went anyway. How many people are screaming out in their ugly actions, but it never can get out in the right way. But it comes out in all these ways that you and I, we don't even see it most of the time. But I want to say, Lord, let's be merciful. Let's look and know that there is things I'm going to tell you, there's a reason they're that way that they don't really want to be. But it's something they're not willing to really deal with down in the root. You see what I'm saying? You've been affected by many things in your life. And there's times that people want to talk about somebody. What good does it do? But they got to do it. Just got to. I've been amazed at it. Why do you want to do it? Why do you want to run to? Why do you want to do that to people? But yet there's something down in there that makes self-worth, or if I can get them down, I'm better, or something down in there that we would be so much better off if we would deal with it and bring it out. You know, the easiest people to deal with are the ones that have self-worth and self-confidence. And the devil robs that from people when they're little and takes all their dignity and self-worth and self-confidence away. You can just about do anything with somebody that's got self-worth and self-confidence. You can deal with them and they'll take it. And you get somebody that's like, you can't really do anything with it. If you're brave enough today, you can go down there and get some of these things. And you can go get them and bring them out and tell the Lord about it, and the Lord can heal those things. You have to be brave now. Stay with me. Don't jump ship. There is quite often a stir about racial issues. I want to positively declare, and everybody knows it, but God made every one of us. We all have the same worth. He loves us all. There is no difference. And if we're going to show the world, folks, anything that means anything, it's going to show them that we all can do it together. And that there is no prejudice in us, that there is no respect of persons. Respect of persons is so ugly and so degrading. God hates it and has labeled it sin, folks. And I don't think any of us purposely would do it. But I was influenced from the time I was about this big into all kinds of different things. I'm thankful that one of them wasn't really a racial prejudice. It was very prominent in my area, but it was real lacking in my family. We wasn't like that. We wasn't taught that way. But many people were. Many people were. And now that thing is something that could be in there. I'm going to tell you, if you'll be brave enough today to follow along, and be willing to go down there in real, and not say, no, it's them. No, it's that one. No, it's over here somewhere. But to be willing and be brave enough and courageous enough to go and really say, honestly, Lord, help me to be everything I can be. Because I'm going to let you in on some things. When you see somebody like that, in your natural disposition would be to be say, that's terrible, that's ugly, they're wrong, all these things. Let me tell you, they'll never pass God's gates with it. They will never get it in God's heaven. And the love of souls propels us over that. Oh God, have mercy on them. I know that won't pass your judgment. But now I'm going to deal with me. Lord, help me to go down now. Help me to go down in that old coal mine. Is anybody claustrophobic in here? Y'all stay out of the coal mines. Because it's a dark, silent, lonely, wet. Sometimes it'd be 3 foot of coal seam and we'd be in 3 foot and it'd be 12 to 18 inches of water in there. Cold water, ground water. It wasn't a very pleasant place to go. But it's way down in there, out of the depths, the writer said. Out of the depths have I cried. There is issues, folks, and there's no need in getting down into the particulars. But today there is issues that needs to be dealt with. That way down in, that if we would be brave enough to go down in and go really look and say, Lord, I feel things, I see things, I see the indicators. Lord, help me go get it out. Help me to bring that into you. There's hurts. You ever been hurt? I'm going to tell you, God's got a healing for them. But I'm going to tell you the way I've experienced them. I've experienced hurts have to be taken care of sometimes more than once. Sometimes they can be in there and you think you got it. And Lord, I've brought it out. I don't want to look at my brother cross-eyed. And so I want to go and try to take care of that. And before long, I'm cross-eyed again. Sometimes I was hurt. Or at least I think I was. I think that's what they was doing. I think I was hurt. I had those feelings. Sometimes it's not just so easy to say I'm immune to these things. Sometimes things doesn't. And sometimes it takes some courage to be able to open that thing up. I feel so vulnerable. I feel dirty. I feel ugly. It's hard for me to say to you, brother, I've really had something against you. And not make it out like I'm trying to tear you down. But really for me to say, would you forgive me? Would you help? Got to bring that thing out to where the Lord can deal with it. Bring it out into the light. Till the light can shine on it. To where the voice can be heard. Where there can be victory over these things. It would be impossible today to start labeling out and touch everything that's down into that kind of place. And it don't take that. All you got to know is that I see some trees growing. I see some indicators. I see the outward signs that there's something going on. Oh, if I have a little disagreement with my wife and we kind of, if I could say it this way, if we bristle up at one another and then a moment later we laugh and say, I love you and I love you. Those things happen and it's one thing. But a continual lifelong struggle. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. I don't have to be like Grandpa. No, I don't. I don't have to be like him. By the grace of God, I can be what God wants me to be. Yeah, I was different when I was in a child, but by the grace of God, I can be different than that. I don't have to have that disposition in my life anymore. Oh, one time, my first wife and I thought when you got saved, I'll testify to you, I was ignorant. I thought that you, when you got saved, you acted right. And so you do. You're supposed to. Well, things would come up, and I, instead of dealing with them, I would just take the attitude, you're supposed to act right, Marty, so act right. So I'd swallow real hard and act right. And I went on doing that for a while, and then we was driving down off of a mountain over there in Webster County, and something started, and I'd been swallowing, and now comes a time and I could not swallow. I'm going 55 miles an hour down the road and I just locked the brakes up and I, teeth gritting, and spun that car around, sliding off the side of the road. Anger, furious. Now that's a real Christian way to do it. You know what happened? There was something down in there the whole time. And all I was doing was swallowing stuff down on top of it. Swallowing down on top of it. Kept swallowing it down till finally I swallowed all I could swallow and I blew up. And I felt so bad. I ended up going to the altar. Went and Brother Tony come with me. What's your problem? I told him the story. He shook his head and said, Brother Marty, that's not the way you do it. All right, I'm ready to listen. And what the Lord will do with us, you honest, you want to take care of things? I'm going to tell you what the Lord will do when you can't get down to the depths of it. Because it's deep. It's beyond our knowledge and understanding. But the Lord will go there. If you will in your heart want it took care of, the Lord will take you there, and He'll take you. And what He did with David in this scripture was, my understanding, He brought to him depths. He brought to him the place that he had to go by the circumstances of his life. When afflictions come and those things, and you start dealing, it'll take you down into those depths if you want to go there and start dealing with those things. Lord, what do you want in my life? Where am I at? What's down here? As David said, Lord, search me. Know me. Try my reins. Is there any wicked way in here? Go in there to the root. I don't know what Jesse passed down to him, but he passed something down. And others had passed something down. And the whole culture had passed something down. And now David, I think in the 142nd Psalm says about being overwhelmed. David? Giant killer? Oh, giant killer. Man of faith and all this. And he's standing there saying, "When my spirit's overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. David? Yeah, that's right. David. Being overwhelmed and not knowing where to go, but crying out in the depths of it. I'm going to tell you, deep places makes deep devotion. Deep trials makes deep faith. You go down into this depths this morning in this journey. You go down there and start dealing and you'll find deep things down there. You'll be able to root out those things and in its place you'll have deep faith. Oh, you'll know there's a God in heaven that works in the lives of men. Oh, we can see this superficial stuff. But I want to tell you, when God gets down in those kind of places, I haven't slid a car around in anger since. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I felt so bad. Christians don't act this way. Why am I saved? What do I do? I don't know how to handle this. But the Lord gave me some victory right there. At that time, thank the Lord for it. There is a place down, Lord help us. Quit fighting around with the circumstances and start looking down into the depths. Yes. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Do you know that it's more important to know the Lord heard your voice than answer your prayer? My wife and I was talking some time back about every once in a while folks will get demanding with the Lord. They'll start telling the Lord, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I kind of want to sneak out when they start it. I don't know how you feel, but I don't feel that's the way to do it with the Lord. And I asked my wife, I said, honey, if the Lord would tell you, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it. What would you do? She said, I wouldn't do it. And I said, I wouldn't either. I tried my way too long for that. I ain't interested in telling if he would say, I'll answer whatever you tell me to do, I'll answer it. I'd say, Lord, forget that. Yes. You do what's best, as only you can do. Yes. It is more important to know that the Lord heard, pray until you know the Lord heard you and commit it to him than it is to have him answer in prayer. If God just went around answering everything that we wanted, why, we would ask for things that we would destroy ourselves with it. But we trust in God in his power. Yes. We also trust in his wisdom. Yes. We trust in his presence, if you will, that he's available. So we trust in God. We're trusting in God for this. In this journey, we're trusting in somebody. We're trusting in a God that's going to get us there. Your wife, your family, your home will be made better. Our congregations will be made better. Our worship will be better. Our fellowship will be true. When I go get those things out of there. When I go really deal with it and get it out of there. Until love can really be spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When it can flow true without suspicion. Now my dad taught me something years ago. And I think it paid out. He told me that it was, I don't know the words he used, but I'll say it my way. You cannot trust people if you're not trustworthy. You can't trust people if you're not trustworthy. You will never think somebody can be trusted if you can't be. True? When you begin to know your own self that you're trustworthy, you'll find trust in other people. How could I believe that you could do it, but I can't. I don't. But when I believe that I do it, I know I've done it. I know God has done a work in my heart. Then I can believe he done one in yours. I can know that you're there too. If I can never come to that place of victory in my life, I'm going to doubt seriously that you've got it. Yes. True? It's necessary that for confidence sake, root these things out of my life. Yes. I've got to get it done. Yes. And I can't look at you, or you can't look at me, or anything like that. It can't be, I'm male, you're female, I'm black, you're white, any of those things. It's got to be me going down to the depths of these things and getting my life cleared all the way through with the Lord.
Yes.
It isn't that you're not saved. It isn't any of these things. It's that there's things that have affected life from way down in that needs to be took care of in the Lord. And He's God enough to do it.
Yes.
Over in 1 Peter, I want to look at this scripture. Just one little bit here in the third chapter of 1 Peter, in the 15th verse. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I just want to pick that out, just that little bit. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, how do you sanctify the Lord God? I mean, it's talking about making separation. It's talking about separating and holy and those kind of wordings. God is what God is all the time. Our impression of God does not change God. He will always be what He is. But that's not talking about that at all anyway. What it's talking about is that we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. He can be all those things that He is, but we don't have Him sanctified or set apart for that purpose in our hearts. God is absolutely all-powerful. We heard about His creating. I just marvel at it. I'm with Brother Leslie. I just thrill to hear the things. When you start thinking about the magnificence of God and all that He has created and done, He's all-powerful. But have you sanctified that power to your heart? Have you set it apart for use? That this God that does everything works in my heart. I have sanctified it. I have put it apart in my heart that He is an all-powerful God. That there is no need that I can have that He cannot feel. I've sanctified it. It is forever settled in my heart today that God is all-powerful to me. He will take me through any trial, any problem. He will deal with any problem in my heart, any place that I have. He will clear that thing up. He's all powerful. No, nothing's lacking to Him at all. That's my God. I set that apart. That's what He is. God is also all-knowing. He knows everything. There is nothing not known to Him. He's all science. He's all knowledge, all understanding. You can't go. We don't think like God does. Oh, we don't think like He does. Do we? And Lord help me, how many times I've been thinking down the line and the Lord just checked me and think, wrong. Well, it seems right to me. And I'm thinking, well, what? This is the, it seems like it's the, well, I'm not that smart. I mean, I've always said I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I think my thoughts, I think the way I think, and then the Lord come along and saying, you're thinking the wrong way here. Yeah. Oh, how often we want to say, split people into these categories of what they're doing, this and that, and oh, somebody come on the campground and was unwise and offended a few people. Lord, help us.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yes.
But what about the one that said it? We'd discard them in a moment. Get them off the ground. Run them out of here. It's going to be hard to go through God's gates offending these little ones. And you look and say, well, get them out. Let's chuck them out of here. We think that way. What's down there that causes that? Lord, have mercy on their soul. Lord, help us. God is all wise. We don't think that way. But we need help thinking the way God thinks. We really do. But sanctify that to your heart. I wouldn't tell God what to do in any instance. He knows what He's doing. I want to trust in what He knows. Lord, You know how to work of my life. I like that scripture over there that says, cause me, O Lord. How many times have I said, I don't have a clue what to do. So I say, cause me, O Lord. Make the circumstances of my life cause me to go in the path that You want me to. Cause me, I'm willing to go, Lord, but I don't know how. But You cause it and I'll follow right along. You cause me to do it. Sanctify that to your heart today. Sanctify His understandings to your heart today. Lord, I know You know everything. And I'm not going to give off trying to think it for myself. I'm not going to go by my own understandings anymore. Lord, I'm going to sanctify your understandings to me. That's what I lean on now. I'm leaning on you from now on, Lord. I'm not going to do that. I've got places in my life that I need to go to, Lord. I need to suck out of there. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be quick to tell my wife just because I don't know. Lord, help me. I don't know why I used to always do that. I don't want to be that way. I want it to be as rich and as blessed as it can be. I want my home and my family and the people around me to be blessed. To be blessed by it. Oh, I want to tell this. I heard this and I just thought this was just a wonderful story. But I heard a story of where President Obama and his wife Michelle went over to visit the Queen of England. Well, they was all talking about on the news because there's a certain protocol that you follow with the Queen. Well, the First Lady didn't obviously know it, so she went up and hugged her, which they said was a no-no, but I thought it was fine. I thought, well, that's what she ought to have done, but oughtn't be uppity, and I, you know, that's kind of my thinking about it, but there was a protocol. Well, they were saying, well, what did the Queen do back? We said, well, she hugged her back. And they said, but you have to realize, the Queen Elizabeth is a very gracious woman. Very gracious. And they told a story where some nobility was there around, and they had brought him in, and they were serving him these finger foods or whatever at the table. And one of them, after they got through, they brought him these little bowls and napkins. And you wash your fingers with them, is what it was for. Well, the guy didn't know, so he slides it over in front of him and gets his spoons and starts eating. Well, to be honest with you, I could see me right there. What is this? You know what they said the Queen did? She slid her bowl over and got her spoon. Listen, it was grace. It was grace. She did. This was her world. She wanted it just as peaceful. She didn't want embarrassment at her table. It was her environment. I want my world. I want that around me to be graceful and peaceful. I don't want to embarrass anybody or hurt anybody. I want them all to be comfortable with me. Comfortable with me. He won't embarrass. It's why that you step out. I stepped out of the chapel one day and looked, and one of the brothers was climbing out of his car, and his feet slipped, and right down on the ground he went. And I turned, and I don't know if it's right. I mean, I wasn't trying to act anything or be like that. I didn't want to embarrass him. So I turned and did it again after he was standing up. That's what I did. If it wasn't fraudulent, I cared for him. I didn't want his world to be. It was right there in our chapel. I don't want our chapel to be like that. I want it to be gracious. I want it to be gracious. Do you know we're not always that way? Why aren't we? Why do we find it so necessary to be somebody that wants to embarrass people? Or to be the boss? Why is it so important to dictate other people's lives? Because of something that's in there. That's why it don't flow, because somebody wants to be the boss and somebody else don't want to be bossed. That's right. When one ought to learn the humility of being a servant, and the other not to be so rebellious. Things there.
That's right.
Lord, help us. This scripture says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Yes.
Not this other stuff, folks, is sanctified in our hearts.
That's right.
The prejudice. The pride. The idea that I'm not going to let anybody else in my walls. I'll not be hurt again. Do you know you might not be, but you'll never experience love like you should? Yeah, you can say, I'll never be hurt again. I've been hurt, I've been done, but and I'm through with it. And leave that down in there, but you'll lose out on the most precious things of life if you do. There's a way to be healed of all these kind of things. Sanctify the Lord God. His power, His knowledge, and my favorite, His presence. Do you know that He told him, 17th chapter of Acts? I'm nigh to every one of you.
Yeah.
Now, where is this unknown God? Where is He at? He's nigh to every one of you. The language there, if you look at it, means that it said grope, I think, or if reach or feel after him, but it meant to grope, and it meant if you was blind. God is so available to you today that if you was a blind man, you could find him by feeling.
Yes.
You wouldn't have to have great vision off somewhere. He's that close. He makes himself that available. Sanctify that availability in your heart.
Yes.
This is who God is. He's all, what is he called? Prevailing. He's everywhere. He's through us, in us, above us, through us. It's God. God is available. He's made himself available through his Son. Sanctify that understanding to our hearts and eradicate all these other things. All the self-confidence, self-worth, all those things are built in somebody that has the Lord in the deep parts of their life. In the deep parts. It's God now. And it's not all these fears. It's not all these things of my childhood down deep in there. Today, don't be afraid. Don't jump ship on these things. You got a troubled marriage? Fix it.
Yeah.
Fix it today. Oh, I'll fix my wife. Oh, I hope she goes to the altar. I hope she takes care of it. Lord knows she needs it. You've done jump ship. By the grace of God, I'm going to win my wife. I'm going to make her life so fulfilled. I'm going to make her happy. I'm going to tell you, I feel like the Lord, I've told my wife this, so I'm responsible, but I told my wife that I felt like the Lord visited me and charged me with her. And my responsibility was more than just marrying her. The Lord charged me. I want to see her in heaven. And I want to see you help her get there. And Lord, that's my wife's my biggest duty. Because the Lord charged me with that, to do that. You're charged too. If he didn't speak specifically to you, he is now. You're charged with her. It's your responsibility. Wives, you're charged with your husband today. You're charged with that. Brethren, here, no matter what our color is, you're charged with me. I'm charged with you. It's my responsibility to go and fix everything that I can to win anything that needs won. Lord, help us. Because this is the best that there is anyway. Lord, the writer said, and I love this, out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Oh, it's deep down in there, but hear my voice. Lord, hear me to answer this prayer. And what it means is, Lord, bring anything that I need into my life. I'm giving you that place, Lord. Bring it in there to fix this place. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? If I say I've been affected by sin, and there's no way to do, and I'm not supposed to say that, or I've been affected by the things in my life or whatever, if you mark it, who could stand? But I like that scripture that talked about that the Lord's pleasure wasn't in the strength of the horse or in man's legs, but he delighteth in them that fear him. And hope for his mercy? You know that makes it sound like it is true. God isn't interested in the powerful and big things, but God absolutely is delighted. He smiles, he laughs, he enjoys when somebody hopes for his mercy. You know that's showing God's character in such a pure way that God absolutely loves the glory of it. Here is a poor old rank sinner that has no hope of anything and he hopes in my mercy. He has realized who I am as God and God is delighted. We can delight God today by saying, Lord, I've been touched by this and I want to fix it. And you're merciful and you want to fix it. Oh, he says here, if he should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his words do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. I think this said that this was a psalm of degrees, which meant it started somewhere and it's by degrees. He starts in depths and ends with redemption. He starts in despair and overwhelming. He starts in a place that who can get out? This old deep coal mine, 2 miles under the ground, where voices can't be heard and the light is never shines. He starts in a place like that and he declares redemption at the end of it. I've been delivered, thank the Lord, from all that things that's in my life. All today, hope in His mercy. God wants, I'm going to tell you, I have all of these things that's tossed. I think the devil makes them, blows them up like they're something, all the, you know how the devil is. But you know these things can be fixed. If we'll but take a journey today into the deep places and go in there and bring that out and say, Lord, cry unto the Lord, Lord, fix this for me. Bring it to the place that I can testify I'm redeemed of these things. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.